For Joissa Rae Jope, the internet has been a fixation ever since her father's first subscription to AOL. While offline, she bounced from school to school.
Amid all the change, one thing stayed the same. She felt awkward. In the years since, her life story and love of the internet blossomed into the popular YouTube workplace comedy series called Awkward Black Girl.
She's currently developing a half-hour comedy for HBO called Insecure. She's also the author of the new book, Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Issa Rae, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so on one hand, you've got a hit YouTube series, this book now, HBO series, yet you're awkward, you're an introvert. How does an awkward introvert get out there and put herself in the public eye like that?
She tries hard not to. she avoids it at all costs, but, you know, with the job comes the necessity to have to be out in public, and you know, I just have to treat it as such. It's a job that I go to, and then I get to be a recluse at home and just minimize my social interactions as much as possible.
I think of a lot of celebrities thriving on the energy of being out there in front of people, and then I think of introverts needing to retreat and, as you say, isolate themselves. Is that part of what it takes? You have to have that downtime to recharge?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I spend a lot of alone time. I spend a lot of time with my core friends and family, but I always need that recharge time. Like, I'm completely drained after a social event, and it is nothing personal. It's nothing against people in general. It's me. It's not them.
So growing up, what was at the heart of your sense of awkwardness?
You know, honestly, I was in a constant state of transition. My family moved around a lot. If it wasn't from country to country or state to state, it was from house to house. Like, we were never in any place longer than 2 years, and in any school at one point longer than 2 years, and I would constantly find that I had to reintroduce myself and, in a sense, reinvent myself or make new friends. And that's just you're in a constant state of discomfort at that point. And the real transition for me came from moving from Potomac to LA, and when my blackness started to come into question. And that was like a huge blow in the face for me, because I'd never imagined that anybody could question whether or not I was black enough.
Yeah, so you write that it's difficult to come into your own when you're not just an awkward girl, but an awkward black girl. So what makes that harder? Why is that harder to fit in that that three-part role, awkward, black, and girl?
You know, already within mainstream media, there's this perception of blackness as, it's pretty limited. You're either cool and suave and trendy, or you're loud and sassy and angry. And there are all these perceptions that I just felt like I didn't fit into either. And that's where my awkward blackness is concerned, not fitting into mainstream media's perception of blackness. And then just in the traditional sense of awkwardness, in that I just felt socially uncomfortable in the way that all adolescents do, but I never really grew out of it. And it's just something that I had to learn to embrace after a while and really just be open about it. But it's something that I just consistently struggle with.
Yeah, you write about encounters, I think, with classmates. I think we're in the high school era here, where people are like, talk about hip-hop artists, rap artists, and how they know more about them than you, and therefore they're blacker than you. And this is from white classmates.
Right. There just came a sort of standard of blackness that I had to achieve that was based off of the merit of those who weren't black. And that was based off of what they saw on television or in film. And it's just what they chose to define blackness as is something that I was supposed to. They imposed their definition of blackness on me. And I just didn't subscribe to that definition or their notion of blackness, I guess.
So as an awkward white guy myself and an introvert, I feel like, okay, society gets it. There's a lot of room for a white guy to have a wide range of personality traits. And it seems like there's just a few boxes that people want to put you in based on these two outward markers, being black and being female.
Yeah, but I'm optimistic that because of the internet and because of even recent trends in television, I feel like that may change. I feel like there are more opportunities now for that to change. And it wasn't always the case. We just had a dearth of kind of black characters as soon as the millennium hit. And now maybe we're in a new age where there are more opportunities for more archetypes to surface.
So apart from your own online show, now HBO show, are there other TV shows, books, movies you'd point to that are starting to open more personality types, I guess, for black women in pop culture?
I would point to anything Shondaland, Thursday nights. I would point to Mara Brock-Akil, people like Ava DuVernay. There's just so many creators out there, and even online. And I tend to collaborate with other series creators that are presenting alternative representations. But there's just a whole slew of images that I'm excited about.
And you write, when we think of shows like Girls, The New Girl, a few others like that, you point out in an essay that was excerpted, actually, from the book, women of color don't come to mind. When girls are referred to in a show title, it's young white women, usually.
How locked in are we? I think that, honestly, there's a notion that only white people can be relatable, and that's what's always kind of bothered me. There's an assumption that if there are all black characters in a television show or in a film, then it's automatically relegated as a black show. And that's an assumption that I want to change, and I want to show that people of color can be relatable at the end of the day, and we are. We as human beings, we all go through the same things and the same feelings. And it just seems like common sense, but that's just not the case.
Well, I want to talk to you about Awkward Black Girl, the YouTube series. What did you set out to do when you started, and what was it like when it blew up on the internet?
I set out to create an alternative representation that I could relate to. And initially, I wanted to make it an animated series. Awkward Black Girl was actually my third web series, and the prior to, I tried to use as a gateway to television to say, hey, I'm going to develop these online and get an audience, and then I'm going to take this to television and show them that there's an audience. And I was constantly told that I didn't have one, when what I was seeing online was that I did, that I had an audience that appreciated my content as is in its raw, purest form. And so by the time I got to Awkward Black Girl, I said, I'm going to create this, and I'm not even going to try to take this to television. This is specifically for the internet. And I just found that the audience was ready for it. It was just good timing because of what we weren't seeing, and they really embraced the character in a way that I just did not expect at all.
Now, one issue that comes up in an early episode, I think it might have been the first episode of Awkward Black Girl, and you have a segment on it, you have a series of ABG, Awkward Black Girl Guides, is the hair issue, and people commenting on your hair and how it changes at one point, wanting to touch it. Can you talk about the state of affairs? This seems like an ongoing discussion, how people react to and relate to your hair.
Hair is just one of those touchy subjects, especially just in the black community. There's a history of not appreciating our hair as is and being told that our hair isn't good enough and trying to change it. And that's something that I went through, growing up. I had to learn to appreciate and embrace my hair. And there's such a fascination with our texture in a way that can be offensive because people want to touch it. They want to treat it like, you are a pet in a way. Can I touch it? Can I see what happens? What happens when it gets wet? And, when people are treating your hair like a foreign object, you tend to have an instinct to want to hide it. And that very much happened to me until I finally just decided to cut it all off and just go bald. And it made me realize how trivial hair is at the end of the day. I've never felt so free as when I didn't have hair. And, now that it's growing out, I love it. I love what I can do with it. And I feel like there really is sort of a movement happening with black women and their natural hair. And it's a beautiful thing.
Now, since Awkward Black Girl, the web series, got big, are you hearing from a lot of other self-declared awkward black girls who are saying things like, wow, somebody gets it. This is my life, too?
Absolutely. People have told me they've come out of the awkward closet. They've been saying that they didn't know what they were, until they saw this series or even read the book, and they now realize they're awkward. And it's really validated me more than anything in that I'm not alone, that I don't have the soul thoughts that run through my head of, insecurity and discomfort. And it's created a community, and I love it.
Can you leave us with a little advice? I imagine there are a lot of young people out there feeling awkward for one reason or another. Your advice based on your story to someone who feels awkward and different from those around them.
I would say embrace it and tell people what you are up front. Don't try to hide it because it'll only get worse for you. Just accept who you are and accept your diagnosis and just move forward and work with what you have.
Issa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Issa Rae. She's creator of the YouTube comedy Awkward Black Girl, author of the new book, The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl.